You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
My name's Rowan Evans. I've started the wine cellar 13 years ago, or nearly 13 years ago, and we've been a small neighbourhood bar and music venue. I mean, we didn't start as being as much of a music venue as we've become, but it's sort of our role in the ever-changing K Road entertainment area.
How do you think it's changed in the past 13 years since you've opened Wine Cellar?
I mean, K Road 13 years ago had a lot more people living, like, directly on the road. Like, there weren't as many big apartment buildings, but some apartment buildings had been built by then. But there was a lot of people living in sort of warehouse or big group flats along K Road, and that there was a full-time resident community, and that's sort of changed. Like, the nature of people living around the area has changed, and it was also a hub for a student and sort of artist community that lived in the surrounding sort of inner city suburbs like Newton and Greyland and Ponsonby. And the sort of makeup of those neighbourhoods has changed quite a lot. A lot of people have been priced out. A lot of the same people are living much further afield.
So how do you think that sort of affected the way that arts and music is formed and the communities within K Road? How do you think them being priced out has affected that?
I think it's really hard to say how exactly it's changed, because there are things that are constantly pulling people back into the CBD. There's still the infrastructure in the venues, there's still sort of the AUT art school and Elam and the music departments and things like that. So people are still around, the same people are still around, and the new generation of people are still around, but it doesn't feel as if K Road is their home at night anymore. It's a lot harder, and there's a sense that people are leaving, or that there's the, like, Auckland's always had the sense that people come here from Christchurch or Wellington just at different stages in their life, and then people have always been leaving to go to Melbourne or Berlin or London. That just seems to be like a constant thing, and people come back, but they're constantly leaving. And now there's a sense that you get people, they're leaving to go to Dunedin because it's cheap, you know, like there's musicians and artists, even ones with established careers, they're sort of like going, actually, it's really hard. There's venues and there's galleries and there's a supportive community, but I have to live in Te Aritu now, or I'm contemplating moving further out. So the advantages of Auckland and the proximity to the kind of art that I want to be around and the kind of music that I want to be involved in is it's harder, and the infrastructure for musicians, like practice rooms and spaces and flats where you can have practices, there's sort of worries about noise complaints and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think the Grow Room is an example of, you know, an idea that was almost harking back to when the Wine Cellar first started, or even further back to sort of like some of the big arts flats where the people are rehearsing and doing lots of different music, but because of price of rents and spaces, they had to work together, and that kind of made it a bit more of a crucible, which meant that it was like instantly a lot more productive than a lot of other places had been, but is under so much pressure. And even I think with their new location, they've got the pressure of it's actually quite a lot of money, and people have to really focus on keeping it going. While 10 years ago, there were a number of places where people were doing similar things, but without that pressure. So they weren't being as productive, and it wasn't as well named, but they were still, that was still like a familiar activity. Yeah, I think there is a more pressure in Auckland, and I think it's also happening in Wellington, and I've heard that there are people moving out of Wellington and going to places like Napier and Hastings, which has generally been where people have come from, but not where they go to carry on their art. Yeah, so the pressures can be positive as making people productive, but I don't know how sustainable it is, or how sustainable it will be.
And as a venue owner, how do you feel like people sort of moving out of Auckland and rising prices are affecting you personally?
Well, we've always, like, I mean, right from when we first started, we were paying more for our space than, like, we were on the cusp of a wave of gentrification. Like, the previous landlord had started investing in K Road because they'd seen it as being undervalued and was, you know, doing what he could to slowly push up the expectation of rents. And, you know, we never benefited from, like, the legendary cheap rents in the K Road area. And to the point that even with when the building sold 2 years ago and we got rent reviews with the new landlord who's, you know, engaged in the same process of trying to push up the value of their investment, our rent actually didn't go up that much. And I think that was more to do with the fact that we were already paying close to what they'd benchmarked as the line. And with bars and the kind of place that the wine cellar is, although we, you kind of quite often look timeless and not particularly expensive, there's always a case of you get your clientele ages and drifts away, and the next generation of customers all have slightly different expectations and slightly different ideas about what they want, and you have to change or you have to be flexible. You can't expect people to be the same. Like, we do have regulars who have been coming here for 13 years. Some of them didn't come for a big 5-year stretch between graduating and getting their first job, and then relationships and partners and children, and now they pop up again. They were involved in one music subgenre, they lost interest in that, and they've discovered an interest in something slightly different, and they've kind of wandered back because what we do has changed. I think the increasing cost of things is always a pressure, but I don't think we're unique in respect that people have, even people on marginal incomes, you know, they want to go out, they want to do things. People find ways, I think. Yeah, and there was quite different scenes and quite different groups of dance clubs and things like that when we first started that disappeared and then have resurfaced in different ways. And so some things are like the morning raves that have been happening and in the Whammy Bar, even though it's far more sober than the nightclub culture that we weren't part of when we started, but was happening around us. Sometimes it's the same DJs who were playing like 10, 12 years ago would be playing in clubs that were going till 4 or 5 in the morning. They're now going to those morning raves and DJing in a stone cold sober way at 6 in the morning, which is the strange full circle.
Can you tell me about the King's Arms?
The shiver of dread amongst venue owners and I think promoters and I think some bands and audiences from last weekend's closing down in quite a heavy-handed way by the police of the King's Arms show. It was an international sort of doom metal show, so not the world's most popular genres, but they had a noise control abatement notice served to them on a Friday night after a local show, and then on the Saturday night, rather than being served another, you know, totally unrelated show, different promoters, the only thing that was the same is it was at the same venue, and rather than receiving an abatement notice, they were deemed to be in breach of the abatement notice from the night before, and the police were called in so this noise control officers could close down the performance, which is quite an extreme act given that it was, like, it's not a house party, but it was treated in the same way as a house party that's ignored their first noise control. And it shows a certain amount of, it just makes all the venues in town, and I've seen online and been in discussions with people who are the promoters for the Tuning Fork and Vector Arena and the Wine Cellar, Whammy Bar, Thirsty Dog, Golden Dawn, and all the places where bands play regularly. And there's just a sense of, on the say-so of one noise control officer can make the judgment call without reference to any sort of sound readings, or without, it's a completely subjective call that something is can be deemed to be excessive and in breach. A lot of the bigger venues have had to go through stringent resource consents to set up their operation, and that can be undone by one sort of subjective call. And the King's Arms is a venue that's been running for over 20 years with lots of different shows, is regularly having to update their safety policies and go through planning and maintain their licenses and deal with the police every day. And sort of like one complaint can basically risk their entire business, because they now have the situation where this one international show is being closed down. That promoter, which is quite an active promoter in the heavy music scene, is not really going to take shows to that venue anymore. Other shows that have already been booked at that venue have been pulling out. Like the King's Arms is a case, like they are closing down and they are going to be turned into more apartments. But what safety does anything else? You know, you want to start a venue, so you go through planning and resource consent to get approval to be a venue with the capacity to put on public shows, with the idea that one resident in the area can actually just close that whole business down. And that's the biggest worry about how things change in the streets, is sort of like, do we really want a CBD where there are no venues or there are no clubs, or it's hugely expensive and a trick of architecture that you can find a place that isn't going to bleed sound somewhere? And sort of how do we want the city to be? It is a choice. We don't have to let sort of like bureaucratic decisions make it so precarious for us.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.